Hello, Clampcast fans. The following is the first episode of our brand new writing-centric podcast, Write For Me, Write For You, where Rob and I chronicle our attempts to each write a novel in 2020. If you enjoy this episode, there's a link in the episode notes where you can add the RSS feed to your podcatchers directly, and should be on iTunes and such soon. This isn't quite your thing, don't worry. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled X discussion in the next episode. Enjoy the podcast!
Lucy, it's 2020, and I am tired of not having written this novel.
Me too.
It's not that I've never written a novel before, and it's not that I haven't written other books before, but this novel is not written yet, and I'm mad about it. I think it might be time for me to write this book.
You know what? I have some things I've been wanting to work on, too. I like this idea.
Yeah, I would really like to read a book by you soon, Lucy. I'm a little mad about how I don't get to read a Lucy novel right now.
Yeah, I'm mad at all the unfinished Robin stories that I never get to see the actual outcome of. Robin.
Yeah, maybe we should write our books this year.
Yeah, we should, like, get on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, man. So we're being very casual and facetious about this, but for serious, we need to write our damn novels. We need to button chair write our damn novels. I know that Lucy is ridiculously overqualified. Like, Lucy, tell us a little bit. Well, tell us a little bit about, like, your education and your work history.
Oh, yes. I always feel overqualified when it comes to my education, and then a little underqualified when it comes to work experience. But, yeah, so I got my BA in English with a minor in writing and film studies, randomly. And then I went straight from that to a grad program that focused on book publishing. And so I got my master's in book publishing, which is technically a master's in writing. And yeah, I did that because I did that because it was the recession in 2008, 2009 was when I was graduating. And I was like, nope, don't want to go out into that workforce, which, yeah, was a good choice, I think. So I decided to go to grad school, and I figured I would either get a job in publishing or I would get the knowledge about publishing that would help me eventually get published. And I mean, it kind of, I guess a little bit of both is what happened. I mean, some of those classes ended up being, I think, more useful, both both creatively and also, like, on an industry level than any writing class I'd ever had.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I did some freelance editing after that. I worked a little in marketing. Now I'm back in school getting a business degree, which is neither here nor there.
Kind of brush over that you have been an editorial assistant and you worked with at least one small publisher in Portland for years, though. And actually, when you were working at that small Portland publisher, you threw my name into the ring so that I got to illustrate a book for them too, which is really nice of you and a really actually an interesting time in our lives. It's easy to forget.
Yeah, I do. I kind of forget about that. Like, I still actually have the magnets of that book.
we made merch and because we helped promote the book at Wordstock in Portland. And it just, like, this feels like a lifetime ago. And everything feels like a lifetime ago right now because it's pandemic o'clock and it's really scary and everybody is out of work and things are just totally nuts. But it also just feels like a lifetime ago because our careers have moved into kind of different directions and we've done so much and, you know, in the last few years. It's just that, no, really, like, we actually kind of worked for the same publisher for a while in really weird ways. So
yeah, it's true. I do totally forget that. I mean, it was, because it was so long ago at this point, and it was kind of like a budding point in both of our careers, but it didn't necessarily, like, I'm not, that press doesn't exist anymore, so I'm not still with them, so it didn't quite go, like, places I was expecting it to, but definitely a lot of worthwhile things were done.
Oh yeah, our careers, like, have outlasted that publisher, but I think every single person who worked for them their lives have outlasted that too. Like, they're all doing interesting things, and we've met people who we're still incredibly close to through that, and that was maybe like the most worthwhile thing in the world.
yeah that was a special time.
Yeah, so I'm like underqualified. I went to art school. I know I'm a little, like, I mean, like academically, like, I freaked out in high school and told my parents I didn't want to go to college, and they lost their minds about it. And so when I told them I wanted to go to art school, they were so grateful I was going to go to college and not just wash out of life, because I'd been like a super teacher's pet, like straight A student my whole life, and then I was getting really depressed and messed up in high school. And instead of taking me to therapy or helping me in any way, they just worried about me a lot. It's fine.
Yeah, I didn't know that you would plan not to go to high school at any point. Not to go to college. Yeah.
No, I used to say that to them. Like, I for some reason had it in my head that I was supposed to grow up and become a lawyer. And I didn't want to do that. I don't know why I thought I had to be a lawyer, but I thought for some reason it got in my head I was supposed to do this, or that I was just going to like help run my dad's musical instrument shop. I don't know. I had some really weird ideas, and I just like was so in my head in my own worlds all the time. Like, everything I did was about world building and character creating. Like, everything I did was making comics and designing video games. Like, that's all I was doing. Like, my life was just writing. Like, I wrote 2 novels in high school. Like, 2.
Can confirm.
Yeah.
I printed, like, one of them out for you.
Yes, and illustrated it, and it's still in my house, and it's like a precious object. But, like, I wrote 2 novels in high school, and I got into art school with a scholarship because I did this huge game design document with all these watercolor character designs. And, of course, like, this was not actually in any way a game design. If anything, it was kind of like an animation production thing, but I was really fixated on it being for games. So I went to an art school that was a, like, production art school. They're gone now, which is fine. But I worked really hard there, and I got a degree in video game art and design. And it's a real degree. Like, it's a bachelor's of science, in fact.
You took other classes, too. Like,
I did. Oh, yeah. Like, I remember. I had a full education. I remember I was miserable beyond belief. And... Like, I was miserable. Lucy can also confirm.
I remember that too, yeah.
I was inconsolable. I was really difficult. I was incredibly depressed. And I had teachers constantly asking me what I was doing at this school. Like, just like, what are you doing here? Like, my figure drawing teacher just being like, what are you doing here? And I think it's kind of an insult to how hard all the other students were working and how talented the other students were. But it's like, I was really academically minded, and the school... While all of the teachers who were doing the academic classes, most of them taught at, like, every other college in town. They were wonderful. Like, I had some, like, incredible PhDs teaching me about, you know, history of material culture classes were some of the most interesting classes I've ever had. It was wonderful. But just the whole bent of everything, especially in the game design program at the time, was so terrible. It was really exhausting. It was really sexist and not very queer friendly. And I had a really rough time of it. But I did graduate with a children's book portfolio because one of my professors was a children's book illustrator, and he took me under his wing a little bit, and I was very intimidated by him, but he did give me some really important foundational information about how picture books worked as an industry, and I segued from games to picture books, like, overnight.
Yeah, well, still in school, like,
yeah.
like it was like your last term of college, you just, like, did this 180.
Like, yeah, I did this, like, completely different portfolio with a brand new art style that I created for this, which I still work in to this day. And I immediately got work doing illustrations for, like, a multimedia project. It was an online kids TV show. It was Kathy Kinney from the Drew Carey show. She was Mimi reading as this character, Mrs. P, reading fairy tales and other classic stories out loud to kids, and I did illustrations that they processed into sort of animatics, and that was, like, the first thing I ever did. It was a wonderful project that was, like, not going to pay me a full-time wage, because this was 2008, and it was terrible. The economy was really bad, just like now, except less epidemic-y. It's so much worse now, honestly. But the recession of now and the recession of them, they're similar enough, right?
Yeah, we don't even know what this one's going to be yet, and it already feels... Ugh. Anyway, it's not about that.
Yeah, but, you know, like, with the small press that Lucy was working for, like, I did a book with them. I did a lot of work on my own. I self-published books, and I started doing comic conventions selling self-published picture books, but also piles of artwork. and eventually like cute merchandise that I made. I still do this also, or I would be still doing this if conventions existed. And so when they come back towards the end of the year, I will say that I do this again. But right now it's very surreal.
Hmm.
So I became this professional artist right out of school, but very independently. I never worked for, I never went into an office. I never worked for a studio. I never did the things that I thought I was going to be doing when I was in school. And I realized that while on the one hand, I really wanted to be part of a team, I also really, really just had my own passion for my own projects. And the world that you live in, the best world for somebody who feels that way and doesn't have a ton of money and connections to just get in at the top level, it's books. And of course, books were what I'd always loved. And picture books were really important to me, but so were middle grade novels, NYA novels, and adult novels. So at some point in this mess, my partner, Nate, really wanted to work on comics and didn't feel like he could draw them himself. And so we launched a really ambitious comic project together, which we're still working on. So then we started publishing indie comics. And a few years into that, I was on a panel at Emerald City Comic Con called Hire That Woman, which Janelle Asselin used to write a column called that, and she interviewed me for it. And it was really exciting to be interviewed and to be on this panel. And I met Margaret Scott, and she really liked me. She's a wonderful writer. She has been working for Nickelodeon recently doing animation development stuff. But she created Windblade, who was the first female Transformers character who got to be the titular character of her own comic line. Very cool. She was great, and we riffed off of each other. Like, we were joking the whole time. At the end of it, she took my contact info and, like, a couple days later sent me a message saying, I have a Miyazaki-style dark fairy tale. Do you want to illustrate it for me? And I said yes.
Like, the dream? Of course
I did. Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's my dream. And then we did it. So my first book, man, I'm skipping over how I did actually do that book for Penguin. I did a young reader's edition of Wizard of Oz, which is also kind of a dream project, but the circumstances were kind of hellish, and I think we'll come back to that at some point, because it's embarrassing and I don't want to talk about it. It was great though. The book
it was very cute.
It was a good project. It's just like there were, it was incredibly fast turnaround, and there's some emotional baggage associated with it, but it was great. But this project was something that, you know, this writer who's already kind of a name in the industry, she is of course a way bigger name now, but she sold it to my dream publisher. And I just wanted to say that, like, I did not sell this first book. I did all this artwork, like, we put together this pitch package. It took us a couple months, but not that long. I did a ton of character designs and all this background work, and we worked really closely together to develop it. It ended up being in San Francisco, partially because I thought that that would be a good city for it to be set in. It ended up, like, so many details of it happened because we had conversations because of the designs that I did. Like, we worked really closely. She was incredible to work with and so kind. But she sold this book. Like, she did all of the work selling this book. And I was really intimidated by that, too, because I didn't have an agent and I didn't have a manager and I didn't have any kind of connection to publishing other than these one or two things that had happened for me and all of these yearnings and wants. But once this book got published, I signed with an agent, and I have been working on other things ever since, but I haven't yet finished and sold a novel, and I've told my agent several times that I'm writing this novel. She knows I'm writing it. I hope she forgets that I'm writing it, because she doesn't ask me about it, which is very, very humane of her, because I want to, like, surprise her one day with, like, this whole novel, this manuscript in her inbox, and I don't know why I want this. I don't know why I think this is a good idea, but this is, like, where I'm at. It's terrible. Lucy, you've also had a project published recently.
Oh, yeah. Well, a couple of years ago, I had a short story in a little anthology, and, it wasn't anything big, but they did find me, which was kind of nice. Like, somebody found my website and emailed me being like, we're doing, you know, regional collections from different, you know, for the different states and stuff, and you should submit something. And so I did, and I got, like, really brief edits back that were just kind of like, you know, this word looks like it was typoed, or you know, something like that. Like, not, you know, really substantive edits, just kind of like copy edits. And I think the hardest part was cutting that down to be in the word count, because, you know, publications have specific, you know, page counts and stuff.
Yeah.
And that one was fun because I don't write a whole lot of short stories. So I basically had to find, I'd like the beginning of something that was just, you know, a couple of pages seen in my head type thing. And I had to kind of like quickly turn it into a story and then, you know, edit that story into something that made sense and had like a beginning, a middle, and end, and, you know, characters I liked and a conclusion I was okay with. And that was interesting. Short stories are hard because they're so short, obviously.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of margin for error or, you know, time to just kind of meander around. Like, you kind of have to figure out where you're going quickly.
Yeah, you can't just feel things out for a while. I mean, you can, but not in the story itself.
Yeah.
I think of you as being good at short stories.
Oh.
And I think of you as being very good at that particular thing you described, where somebody says, like, well, we needed this thing, and I feel like you can usually create something really worthwhile and meaningful that, like, fits the bill. I always think of that as a skill you have.
Awesome. I mean, I like writing prompts. I find them helpful. I find, like, you can pull a lot out of a simple prompt.
And I think maybe your background in the kind of marketing and social media role that you had at your last job was also kind of like that. You were actually doing a ton of copywriting, like, for years, and it doesn't feel like the same thing as writing a novel, even though it's, like, the same job title as writer.
Yeah, but I think if I had to, like, point at why I have that, like, sit down, write the thing skill is definitely that, like, AP comp class we had in high school. Not at the same time. Oh, yeah. We took it different years, but we had a wonderful professor. And I remember that class just, it wasn't creative writing, it was essays, but every week at every Friday, we just spent the whole period writing an essay. And, you know, it was only like one or two, you know, handwritten pages, but you had to kind of just go. And it got me really fast at writing and really fast at, like,
yeah, at prompts. Because we wouldn't know what it was going to be about until we sat down in the chair. And this was to prepare us for the advanced placement tests, which we both did. Which, unfortunately, meant that I never took a lit class in college.
Yeah, I did because I...
Yeah, because you were a writing
Because I was an English major, but it meant that I never took any lower writing classes. Actually, until, like, last term when I had some credits to burn. And so I needed to pad my schedule with something, and so I took technical writing, but I think it was the lowest writing class I've ever had in college. It was a very good class. I mean, it was a different type of writing.
Was it useful to get that taste of a very different kind of writing, even though it's a kind of writing I think you have actually done in your life?
Yeah, it was interesting because my professor did a lot of teaching about, like, rhetoric, and we did this fun elevator pitch exercise, which was nice, and we went over resumes and stuff, and it was good at kind of, like, honing in on how to, like, get your point across really easily, which the type of writing I kind of enjoy is, like, take a big amount of info and try and make it as clear and as simple, as short as possible. I enjoy that mind exercise.
Yeah, I think that we are both people who are more interested in storytelling and writing for communication than we are in just experimenting with pure language, even though we're both really in love with language and love words, and we like poetic language. It's not that we're sort of like Hemingway super stripped down writers, but we both have this, like, it's coming from a desire to actually tell a story that we have in ourselves, not just that we want to play with language, which I think is a legitimate reason to want to be a writer too. It's just, like, that's not necessarily where we're coming from.
So I think it's good to kind of touch upon why we're doing this and what this podcast is. We kind of just wanted an accountability, I guess, for getting our projects done this year, because it's been long enough. There are things we want to finish or start or whatever. And we both know that we can finish longer projects because we've done it before, but we haven't quite had the, like, specific deadlines and motivation, I guess, necessary. Well, like, external motivation. Like, it's hard to kind of, like, put dates on things yourself. So we figured end of the year. I mean, it's already, like, April by the time this goes up, but still, we've still got a lot of year left.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like for both of us, we know that we can write a lot in 1 month, so we give us a lot of months, and then we can not only write a lot, but, like, write well and plan for it.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, Lucy has multiple projects to pick from. I have a particular one that I must actually finish. Mm-hmm. It is a book I have written, like, 4 times. And each time has been not good enough for me. And I think this time is the charm. And in fact, this time has to be the charm. This version will be sent to my agent.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the goal for Lucy is to be querying agents by the end of the year.
Yeah, I think that that's a good goal for both of us, is to try and have something that, I don't know about by the end of the year querying, but at least have the first draft done. So, like, this is year one where we write, and then year two, we do the query process.
That was the other thing, is like, okay, part of this podcast is just accountability buddies, mm-hmm. and maybe even some, like, open and honesty about, like, what is it like to be trying to write, and how often, like, we might figure out things about ourselves and our process that will help us fix each other's bad scheduling. Lucy is really organized, and I'm not as organized, but I also, like, am a crazy overworker. We're both, like, super overworkers. I am less healthy about it, I think.
Well, you're very inspirational, though. Like, I always feel more like writing after we have a conversation about it, so this should be good.
It is, like, the world I live in is just always trying to figure out how to get stuff done.
Mm.
The book I'm currently working on, which is a graphic novel that I did write, so I have written and sold a book before.
Mm-hmm.
I said my first book I did not sell. The second book I did. I totally did it. I'm really proud of myself. I mean, my agent helped a lot. Like, a lot. But I sort of, like, sold it in person, which was magical and strange, and I'm not sure that I will get a chance to do that again with this next book. So I really have to, like, try to make it speak for itself, and that is really scary. But yeah, like, I'm finishing up the project that is sort of codenamed Enchanted Forest. It will be done, I believe, in May.
Mm.
It might be done by the end of April, but that depends on the speed of publishing, which is not always super fast, because very few editors have a lot of projects on their shoulders.
And we have no idea how this is going to set back all the industries, so.
Absolutely. I mean, like, I've been given some indication from my editors, like, they've been talking to me about, like, what's going on with them and with this book, but to sell a next book is going to be a big scary thing for all of us. Like, that's definitely changed some of the timber of this podcast. But at the same time, this is a great time to write a book. I think Lucy gets summer off, which is magical.
I'm very excited.
And in a way, I get summer off because there aren't any conventions and my book will be done. Mm. So, like, the pressure's on for me to, like, write stuff and sell it. But I will, because I have picture books that I'm going to be working on at the same time. So every once in a while, I might talk a bit about the picture books that I'm working on instead of the novel. But for the most part, this podcast is about kicking my butt to finish this damn novel and kicking Lucy's butt to finish her damn novel, which I think she also has to start.
Yes. I also have to decide on what it is, so that'll be a thing.
You have a lot of really good things to start with. Like, Lucy is making this sound more dire than it is because she's tired, but, like, Lucy has a lot of really, really good stuff to start with. Like, also has projects that kind of, like, have been worked on before and could get finished, but also has, like, this really wonderful beginning of a novel that's, like, waiting to... Oh, guys, it's so good. I think the other part of the podcast is I just want to talk about how great Lucy's writing is.
Aww.
And be excited for you guys. And maybe have Lucy tell me how good my writing is every once in a while.
Yes, because I'm excited. I have been with you on this project as you've written it since high school, and I know the finished version of it, Robin. I need to
do it. I need to actually finish this book. And again, I finished this book. It is a different book now. I have finished it multiple times.
Yeah.
This time it will not be hundreds of thousands of words long. And this time it will have a plot that has a discernible antagonist. And this time it will not be me in high school writing about what I think people post-college are like. It's gonna be great. Actually, they're now in high school, which is cute. Like, I've swapped it around. So, my project will be a YA novel. I'm not sure whether Lucy's will, but it might be.
Probably. It depends on what project I go with. I do have one that's about college students that does need to get finished at some point, but I don't know if that will be this or not. Yeah, and my problem is mainly just I have so many things that I like and stories that I feel like need to get done, and it's just kind of trying to decide which way. Like, it's not like I have no idea what to do. I have too many ideas. We'll see. Just gonna be what I'm feeling the most. But also, like, one thing about writing is, like, sometimes you can write with inspiration, but sometimes you just kind of have to write because you have to kind of push through not being super inspired. Sometimes you do need to take a break. Sometimes the lack of inspiration is that you need to take a break, but only for so long.
Yeah, no, sometimes you have to, like, make yourself inspired again, and you have to write for future you. Mm-hmm. Write for the project, not for the joy of that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, so, like, the third thing this podcast is about, other than accountability and talking each other up, which is just, like, it's a nice thing to do for your friends, too, for anybody listening to this, like, be encouraging. No one is really helped by you telling them how bad they are at something. Like, if they need help, you could definitely help them figure out how to get through a hurdle that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But don't just pull people down and make them feel like they can't do it. Everyone can write a book. Like, we've talked about our backgrounds, but that's just because, like, we want you to have a sense of who we are. By no means does anyone have to have any particular background to write.
Like, yeah.
Any background. Being completely self-taught is awesome. You might have different hurdles that someone who has Lucy's degrees has, but, like, some of the hurdles are the same no matter what. And we kind of wanted people to see that in real time. Because it's really easy when people talk in retrospect about how they sold a book. All of the waiting, all of the suffering, it gets downplayed and it gets erased. And some of that is because it's kind of embarrassing. Like, no one wants to admit how hard this is. Mm-hmm. No one wants to admit how often you feel like a failure. But I think that the more people understand what the process is really like, the less likely you are to feel like a failure. Because, like, it is hard. Butt in chair finishing a book is difficult to do. Querying a book is hard. Mm-hmm. Selling a book is hard, right? Even if you have people who care about this book, like, even if you have an agent who wants to sell your book, even if you have editors who are interested in it, that still doesn't mean it's going to sell. And I think that the important thing about this is that we're doing it. It is very possible that neither of us will be able to sell the book we finish this year, and that won't be a failure.
Yeah.
That'll just mean that we have to pick up and write the next book.
Yeah.
And that can be hard when the book you're writing is one that you are deeply invested in, like mine. You can tell that the reason I've rewritten it is I'm so deeply invested in it that it has to be good enough. I really, really want someone to care about it. I don't want to just move on from it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if what happens is that by the end of it, I just can't, Lucy and everybody listening will kind of have to help me get through that and figure out how to pick up and move on. And I feel like maybe it'll be easier for me to do that if I have people helping me. Hopefully you won't have to do that. Hopefully it'll sell and you'll all get to read it instead. So the outcome of this is either you get to read these books or you watch us pick up and work on our next book.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the truth, is that for anybody doing this, there's no guarantee that the project you sink your soul into is going to sell. It's devastating. That rejection is really, really hard to live with and get through. But if you know it's normal, if you know that it's kind of a thing that everyone goes through, I think it can kind of help people to be a little bit less intimidated by it, and to not have that sense of external, like, oh, I'm a failure because I couldn't sell my book. It's like, well, you didn't sell that book, and the reasons for it are not personal, and they're not anything you should measure your life by. It's just the terrible happenstance of, like, market forces, basically.
Yeah.
And you'll get feedback that will help you, too. It sounds kind of reductive to say, like, well, and then you'll get helpful feedback, but you will. Even if that feedback is, oh, this project didn't work for anybody, the next question is, okay, why didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And to try to inspect that is also, like, useful. It's devastating, but you either stop or you keep going. And I think that that's kind of, like, our big thing here, is we are determined to keep going.
Yeah. And I mean, it is important to talk about, like, I mean, I fully believe we're going to be reading your book in a couple years, because I know the project and I think it's solid. But if we're not, it doesn't necessarily mean the writing is bad. A lot of books get rejected just because the publisher's not ready for that type of thing at the moment. They have something too similar, or just something in a different genre that's not, like, they're not focusing on that at the moment. Like, there are a lot of reasons books have trouble finding homes, and a lot of it is just kind of luck. So
yeah,
there's a lot to be said for also, like, perseverance. Like, just because a book doesn't get sold within a year doesn't mean that it can't get sold within 5 years. Sometimes, you know, you hear people talk about they'll get, like, their third book sold and then they can sell the other ones once they start building that.
Yes.
Platform's not quite the right word for this, but once this readership, I guess. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that can happen, and they don't necessarily all end in immediate publication, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have failed. That just means that they're taking a longer path or whatever, and that it's time to focus on the next project. So yeah, I hope we can do a lot of, like, I don't know, exploring what you do when, like, your book is off querying and you literally can't, like, you need to stop looking at it because you can't change anything for a while.
Yeah. I mean, that is why we're doing the podcast, is that on the one hand, the two of us were going to have to deal with this anyway. Mm-hmm. We were going to have to deal with this off the mic, right? Because we're going to do this thing. Like, this is happening. We're actually going to write books. But the point of talking about it and trying to talk about it with other people as well as with each other is to just sort of open this up.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, it's kind of an obfuscated and mysterious process. And of course, the two of us won't be able to go behind the scenes to every publisher who does or does not reject our books. Like, we won't know their side of the story. But to actually kind of, like, hear what it's like to sit through it and what it's like to go through it, it's not to, like, scare anybody off, and it's not to get pity or even accolades for how well we handle it, because maybe we'll handle it well. Who knows? We'll find out.
Yeah.
It's just to be honest about what it really looks like. Because when a book is sold, there's, like, this moment of celebration, and then there's the anticipation for the book to come out, and then people like it or they don't. But there are years of work before that moment, and no one is an overnight success. And often the project that people believe has made you into an overnight success may be 10 years into your career, might be 10 books into your career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all success is overnight, right? And no success is overnight.
Yeah.
So that's just something that we kind of want to, like, just, like, really show this process. Maybe we'll be able to interview some other people, too, as we're going. Like, there's a chance that we can talk to editors and agents and people that we know. Like, that might be fun to just kind of, like, get other perspectives, especially when we have the weeks where we're just waiting for things to happen.
Yeah, and we know a lot of other authors, and I'd love to hear from other people about their part in the process.
Yeah, especially as we start to find some of our own patterns throughout this. We'll probably have better questions to ask other people.
Yeah.
But also, if people want to ask us questions, that would be really wonderful, too, because we can help find information for you or just tell you what we already know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think with that, it's time for our first check-in, Robin.
Yeah, our first check-in.
All right. So where are you?
Where am I? I have already written about 15,000 words of this book.
Nice.
Which is scary because it's a chunk of it. And I don't feel like I've gotten as far through the story as I want to, but I'm going to just knuckle under and just finish this draft, even if it's too long, because I know I can edit it down. Like, that is fine. There's so many different ways I could edit this down if I needed to. But I'm already a little ways through. This document is from 2018. I didn't write at all last year. Like, I just couldn't. All of my time last year was spent working on Enchanted Forest, so I could not write the novel at all. But I've already gotten quite a bit done this year. I wrote once last week. It was that little check-in time that we had decided we were going to have on Thursday.
Yes.
So that was a rough day because my rat Bebop died on Wednesday night. And I was a mess on Thursday. And I had a busy day trying to get a whole bunch of work done. And I still managed to, like, carve out like an hour and a half to sit down. And I got through a scene that I had been wanting to write, but hadn't really, like, outlined properly. I got through that scene that evening, and I'm really happy because I'm not in a hole anymore. Like,
that's so good.
The next time I sit down to write, I, like, know what I'm doing, and it feels magical. But I did realize I have to do more research about, like, 1980s France, which has nothing to do with my book, except that for the character in this scene, who will be a recurring character. I want to make sure that I understand, like, where she would have to live to be part of cabaret scene and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, part of drag scene. Like, where would she have to live to be a part of this? And trying to figure out, like, what drinks she would offer these two teenage boys. Because I'm like, well, I feel like French people, like, it's all about wine. And so I ended up having a joke about her being like, well, I would be serving you guys wine, but you're kids and I can't serve wine to minors in this country. And it's funnier in the book, I swear.
I like it already.
Maybe it's not, and I'll fix it.
It's okay. There's plenty of time to fix so many things.
So where are you, Lucy?
So I
mean, we know you haven't quite picked your project, but
yes.
You wrote. I know you wrote.
I wrote during that same hour and a half or whatever, which I think was also absorbed by trying to get some school something or other fixed. Yeah, so I'm at this weird thing where I've actually been writing pretty frequent. Well, I've been a bit of a block, but the last couple of years I've been working on this really long fan fiction, which if we've got new Dragon Ball fans out there, it's going to happen. I'm not going to tell you more details, but that's what I've been working on. And I want to...
It's epic. It's beautifully
epic.
Written.
It's so long.
It's ridiculous.
Long.
Guys, it's also ridiculous. It's really well written. Like, really, really well written.
Yeah.
And it's just it's one of those, like this thing is... It's like, could this just be canon? Like, it's fine.
Yeah, I would like it to be that level anyway.
It won't be, but that's fine.
It will not. It will not happen. He can't write characters. It's fine.
It's fine.
But yeah, it's... It's good. I enjoy writing it. It definitely got me out of kind of... I had spent a few years kind of working on the same stories and trying, kind of just like spinning my wheels, trying to get back at them. And then it was really helpful to kind of just dive into someone else's world for a while. And like, I'm a big, you know, fan of fan fiction in general. I think it's like, I think there's a lot of people doing a lot of good work that is getting non-traditionally published, and that, and fan fiction is one of those ways. So I'm really excited to... I haven't put any of it up yet, so I'm really excited to finish it and put it up and be able to, like, I don't know, have some of that direct feedback from people, or at least, like, interactions with people that you can get. Whereas books take a few years, you know, whereas this, I can have a chapter up. But this is not about me finishing that. I want to finish that project in general, but that is not my year project. So I have to decide what I want my year project to be, and I have a few different things I'm going over. There's one that's kind of young adult, sort of paranormal romance, I guess, but not like heavy R romance, I guess. And I could work on that. And I just had that looked at by one of my friends teaches a grad class on editing. And so I had them look at the very first draft of this thing from, like, I don't know, 2008 or something. No, like 2010. Look at that one and kind of give me edits on it. And I haven't looked at all those edits yet. She hasn't sent me all of them quite yet, so I haven't gone over, like, the details of them.
Yeah, like the class.
The class all gave me edits, yes. And I got to meet with them in, like, a group chat thing, because, of course, it was the end of the term, which meant the beginning of the pandemic. It's fine. So I got to get a lot of good feedback, and they were very helpful, and it was nice to have people talking about my story. It was really cool. They asked very good questions, and they were pretty good when I was like, oh, yeah, no, that character's trash. He was just there because I needed conflict. He's gone, don't worry. So I could go back to that, which is probably the most likely since I'll have newly had all these edits. And that already has about the first, like, 10 chapters rewritten from a few years ago. So I could easily, like, dive back into that, unless that's too much cheating for our project. But
I already have 15,000 words of my book written.
It's true.
It's not cheating.
It's true.
Nothing's cheating. This is not, like, a nano thing that's all about speed. This is just about, like, being accountable to actually finishing a book this year. This is about finishing.
Right.
It doesn't matter when we started it.
Right. It's not project in a year. It's, this is the last year of the, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yes, because we're definitely not trying to tell everybody that you have to write a book in a year, because, like, you don't. I mean, your publisher might demand that you do, and you can deal with that when you get to that point, but generally they won't. And you don't have to, and that's, like, not realistic. But for both of us, it's like, no, we think we can.
Mm-hmm.
We think we can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our day jobs, such as they are, allow for that kind of time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, so I might do that one. There's also, like I said, the college guy's story that I might work on, which needs a rewrite, but has, like, a somewhat workable draft, whereas the other one needs a complete, aside from, like, the 10 chapters or whatever, needs a complete rewrite of the original draft because I changed the tense. Yay. So I can't use anything from the original, but this other one is, I rewrote it a few years ago, and it needs, like, a middle, but the beginning and the end are fairly solid, so I could jump into that. I could start a new project. You're very enthused about my, like, high school students playing D&D story, which
I am.
I do have the beginning of, it's either the beginning of a novel, or it's a kind of short story about, like, one of the secondary characters. I haven't quite decided who the if I do the novel, who the main character will be.
Ooh.
So, it might not be the character you think it is, or the character that is the main character in that short story. Because I did a short story for a class, just to clue everybody in, which I did really like.
I'm really invested in the main female character from that story. Like, I love the main male character whose voice it's in. Like, I love that character.
Mm-hmm.
But the character who's, like, is kind of his love interest, like, I'm totally interested in her and really invested in her. So I'm just excited to see her in something.
Yeah.
And I feel like that project, like, I don't know, I love it. I feel like it's such a good take on kids playing D&D, which is a thing that can be really reductive or redundant, or just like, there's a lot of ways to do that that aren't very interesting. And I think this one is, and I think it is sweet, and sweet is nice right now.
Well, good. Yeah. I mean, that one might have the most like enthusiasm behind it, where I want to write it as opposed to I feel like I should write it.
That's a good reason to
write.
That's
true. Yeah. Also, the marketing side of my brain that has industry knowledge, that one might be easier to sell right now because there's a big boom in popularity of D&D, especially with like Critical Role, I think, has a book coming out or something, and Adventure Zone has their comic.
Plus, writing for a younger audience, and that book is aimed, like, it's not an older YA, it's like a younger YA.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's also a group of people who really need books right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really need books and really need stories that are about togetherness and getting along and, like, about bonding with other students and ways you can bond with other students, because that's going to be weird,
mm-hmm.
especially, like, coming out of this year. You're going to have people whose social development got really messed with.
Yeah.
So I can see that just in general being, like, a really, like, good-hearted project that people could really connect with.
Yeah. So that might be what I do. I'm going to, you know, follow my muse or whatever, and hopefully be able to be have more for our next check-in. I should be have an update that's what story I'm working on.
I'm excited to find out.
Yeah.
I think that's where we're at. I think we can finish this one.
Yeah, this one ended up being a little long, I think just because we had to do a lot of stuff in the beginning. So probably most episodes from here on will not be quite this long. So, you know, don't be afraid if you're expecting a shorter podcast.
Yeah, we're aiming at 20 to 30 minutes, and this one is going to be like 45.
Yeah, which will be fine.
But Lucy, thank you so much for joining me on this quest. We are going to finish a book this year.
Yeah, we're going to do it. Two books, in fact.
We're going to do it. Two books. Yes, I'm going to finish a book. You're going to finish a book.
Yeah.
We're going to get to read each other's books.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
I'm excited.
About that.
All right. Well, I think that's it. You have a good night.
Yeah, you too. And keep writing.
Mm-hmm. Keep writing.